Chip, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light. The Mountain Dew Blue, you know what to do.
And that's crush a Coors Light.
We're live from the Everlight Solar Studio. And we are joined by America's favorite Jason. Jason Wilde. Jason, how are you doing today?
I feel like Jason Alexander, who played George Costanza.
Yeah.
America probably likes more.
He always plays like a weasel on TV. Like, any movie he's in, he's a pretty woman, he's an awful character. So, like, he plays
Jason
bad characters.
Jason Sudeikis?
Jason Sudeikis, I'll give you. Okay.
Yeah, Jason Sudeikis.
I mean, you're like 1A, 1B with him, Jason.
Same vibes.
He and I are his character in Ted Lasso and I are very similar, that's for sure. Jason Derulo? He's very
talented. No, I'll put you ahead of Jason Derulo.
Yeah, I vaguely know who that is.
Yeah.
I know the name.
He was supposed to perform at the Chicago Fire Inter Miami game this weekend. At the end of the game, the boys went with their mom. And he didn't show up for like 40 minutes. It was supposed to start right after the game because Messi wasn't playing, so they replaced it with Jason Derulo. Makes sense. And then apparently it was terrible. And he was late, so.
Boo.
Well, I'm glad I'm ahead of him then.
Yeah, right on time by my watch.
Jason, I want to get to the Packers with you, but here in Madison, everyone's freaking out and about Badger football. And I actually thought the game, first game of the year, like Michigan didn't look great, UCLA didn't look great, they won their games, Minnesota lost. Like, I understand people are really upset about it, but I honestly think that Wisconsin had to make a move to a guy like Fickell. So my stance is a lot of Badger fans out there be like, Jim Leonard would have had this program in a better spot. And I actually think that hiring someone like Luke Fickell was the right hire, someone with experience in building out the NIL, building a program, knowing how to recruit, and knowing how to compete in a conference that's going to be what the Big Ten is now with USC and
Oregon.
All these schools that are going to spread it out and NIL money everywhere, that you needed to go outside of the program. Like, if you looked at Nebraska, Nebraska was falling apart because they always would go in the program. They brought back Scott Frost. They wanted the glory days. And now they look like maybe they turn a corner because they brought in Matt Rhule. So I don't know if Luke Fickell's the right guy, but it was the right idea to bring in someone new with a proven system who knew how to recruit in the NIL to the point that he took his team to the college football playoffs, somewhere the Badgers have never been. What's your take on the state of the Badgers right now?
So how far were we into NIL, though, when he took Cincinnati to the college football playoffs?
It's a good question. When he took him to the playoffs, they might not have been there, but he had a system in place that the Badgers did not. That was
sure.
Part of their hiring, is they didn't really know what to do with NIL, and Fickell had
a
plan.
So I love Paul Christ. Like, I think he's one of the all-time great people.
Yes.
I take pride in the fact that twice I had people from UW reach out after he was on our show and tell me how we managed to get him to loosen up and be fun and entertaining better than anyone else ever had. So that was a big deal. But he doesn't coach in today's college football, right? Like, mm-hmm. I thought he was a fantastic head coach. I thought he was, like, if college football had stayed exactly the way it was when he got the job, like, I would hope that he would coach until he retired. But unfortunately, that's not what college football has become. And, you know, you mentioned Badgers fans flipping out a little bit. You know, first of all, I'm guessing Florida State fans are flipping out even more so.
Yeah, especially the one that said he was going to eat poop if his team lost. So that guy specifically is freaking out.
He should reach out to Aaron Goldhammer,
right?
ESPN Cleveland. He can give him some tips. but on top of that, like, look, I watched Oregon on Saturday, and I watched it because A, I wanted to see what the Ducks look like, but B, Tausch's BFF, Jason Eck, coaches the Vandals,
mm-hmm.
and Idaho gave them everything they could handle.
Yep.
I mean, they were the better team for a good chunk of that game. So I think the reality, and again, this is not my area of expertise. Some might chime in on the YouTube chat and say, well, the NFL is not exactly your expertise either, jackass. But I would say when I look at college football in 2024, who the hell knows what your team is going to be in the first week, 2 weeks, month, or so, because you're changing over so much of your roster. I mean, the Badgers changed over their roster more than the Packers did. And the Packers are a professional sports team. So I just think it's hard to know what to expect. And I think good programs with good talent and good coaches eventually get it figured out. But those early games, I wasn't surprised that they had trouble with Western Michigan, and I wasn't surprised that Oregon had trouble with Idaho.
So I know it's different. It's on a different level, but the Green Bay Packers take on the Philadelphia Eagles in Brazil on Friday. So if
they do?
They do. are you going? Are you there? I don't know.
I'm just staying in my hotel.
But I want to flip it to not necessarily the same question, but if the Packers start out slow, or depending how this first game goes, I guess at what point do the Packers fans need to panic based on this first game? Or should they just not panic at all?
So I don't know exactly what my job is sometimes. I definitely don't know what your job is. So I always feel like, I've said this before, that I kind of feel like I'm the guy with his thumb on the scale. And I want to keep the scale balanced. And so when fans are over their skis with excitement and anticipation and expectations, I like to put my thumb on the other side of the scale and maybe bring up some of the concerns, some of the challenges that the team might be facing. On the flip side, when people are freaking out, I feel like it's my job to kind of be that voice of reason, to calm things down a little bit, to say, hey, the ceiling is not caving in. It's going to be okay. And so when it comes to this team, I don't know what's going to happen on Friday. What I do know is that the 2021 Green Bay Packers opened the season against the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, they were supposed to go 17-0.
They went and they should have, I'm sure, according to some. But they opened the season against the New Orleans Saints in Jacksonville, Florida, and they got it handed to them 38-3. And nobody really thinks about that because they wound up being the number one overall seed with the best record in the NFC anyway, despite getting their asses kicked in the opener. And while they squandered the number one seed in the first round bye by not being able to score more than one touchdown in a loss to a San Francisco team that, if I recall correctly, did not score an offensive touchdown in that game, it didn't change the fact that it was in no way the death knell for their season. The year before that, they got their butts kicked by the Buccaneers, I believe, in the opener. And then they ended up obviously losing to Tom Brady and the Buccaneers at the end of the year. So what I'm saying is that much like college football, and especially with the way these NFL teams no longer play their most important guys during the preseason, these are kind of like facing Western Michigan, except unfortunately for them, it's Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown and Saquon Barkley and the rest of the crew that the Eagles are taking to Sao Paulo.
So with the Packers and the Eagles playing Friday, there's a couple people that were limited with practice today, like Romeo Doubs is the big one, maybe Emmanuel Wilson with A.J. Dillon not being on the field, and obviously Marshawn Lloyd being just out at practice. Is there any concern with these guys, or is this kind of more of a preventative, planned kind of limited practice, or can you shed some light on some of those injuries?
Well, Matt, there's always concern when guys aren't able to fully practice. You know that.
Right.
That was my best Matt LaFleur. Well, there's always concern when a guy can't practice. but I don't think there's a lot of concern. We talked to Romeo in the locker room. He's got this is the medical definition of his injury, because this is what he used when he talked to us. He's got a hand contusion, which sounds really bad unless you know that a contusion is a bruise. So it's obviously you'd rather have him not have a contusion or a bruise, but I don't think that that's a major worry with him. I think he'll be fine. It's just healed more slowly than he was hoping it would. They sat Marshawn Lloyd. I hate that there's so many guys on this team that I have to pause and make sure I don't say someone else with their first name, like Rasheed Walker versus Rasheed Wallace, or Xavier McKinney instead of Xavier McDaniel, the old basketball player. And then I have to do that with Marshawn Lloyd, Marshawn Lynch as well. But this was actually a planned day off for him. He had the two practices, the first 2 days of the week, and so they wanted to give him an opportunity to kind of rest and recover today. So I don't know. I doubt he'll be full go, but he at least seems to have put himself in position to potentially at least play some in the game. And you know, Emmanuel Wilson, he is their number two back. There's no question about it with A.J. Dillon on IR. And I saw A.J. Dillon's going to do like some sort of watch party during the game on Twitch, which I've never seen a guy on injured reserve do before, but A.J.'s a different breed. He's Mr. Popularity in our state, so he can do that. But it's, I think they're in really good health, actually, Matt. I don't think there's a whole lot to worry about there.
All right, well, my next question is, with the very lackluster performance that the Packers had last time they went overseas, granted different kind of time zone changes, but still a long travel, different location when they were in London. Now they're in Brazil. Have you asked Matt LaFleur or talked to anybody about how they might be approaching this game differently than they did London? Where they, I think they got beat by like the Jaguars or something.
They got beat by the Giants.
Giants, that's it.
And it's not Jaguars, it's Jaguars. Don't you know how to say Jaguar?
I mean, I'm from Wisconsin. I have a weird pronunciation for everything.
You do. You're weird. That's 1,000% true. A lot of people say Jaguars, though. You're not the only one. It's funny that you asked that. I literally asked that exact question. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
We had just taught Jim, and we just did like a quick little like 5-minute drill on.
I said nobody knows more about international travel
before
any airwaves anywhere than probably Matt Hamilton.
So I was given like some tips. So I was hoping Matt LaFleur might be listening. But that's kind of what sparked it, along with our producer Ryan, who liked to drop a little tidbits in my ear.
Yeah, quite frankly, and I say this literally with all due respect and not sarcastically at all, you'd be the kind of person that I would call if I was him.
Yeah, no, for real.
I don't know what the Brazilian curling culture is by any means.
They're not very good.
That's surprising to me.
you don't say.
But I would definitely want the input of people who do this more frequently, and for the, and again, I'm not being sarcastic, for the impact it has on athletic performance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I'm not going to lie. I've been irritated the last couple days about this whole story because, look, it's my job to inform fans, right? And yeah, it's my job to ask questions, even if they might not be especially popular. And we played the kind of montage that Jesse put together of myself and Domofsky asking questions about the travel for this, and LaFleur claiming all we've talked about are the Philadelphia Eagles and what we need to do against them. And I wanted to, and I wouldn't do this to him because I respect him, but I was going to say, dude, you're the head coach of this blanking football team. It is malpractice if you're not talking about the other variables and preparing them for. And so today he actually was a little more forthcoming about stuff. But still, I think he hated going to London. I think he hates that they're having to play in Brazil. The only thing he likes about it is that it saves them from having to play, say, a November game against the Eagles in Philly, where there'd be a greater home field advantage for the Eagles than there will be in Brazil. But other than that, I think he hates everything about this. And so, you know, the players, I had a bunch of players, Jaden Reed, Eric Wilson, Kenny Clark, all confirm that they are not leaving the hotel, that has been the directive, which, again, I've never been to Brazil, but I don't know Sao Paulo versus Rio de Janeiro, but it sure seems to me that Brazil would be a fun place to visit, and there are other dangerous places in the world. So it would be nice if you got to do what you do for all your other road games, which is drop your bags at the hotel and go out and experience that city that you're in. They're not doing that. I think that is at the behest of the league. But the bottom line is that there are challenges to this game that are unique to playing this game, especially the fact that it's not like London, where at least they put on a decade's worth of games in London. The first one. So I think this is going to be really interesting how they handle it, how the Eagles handle it, but it was really good talking with some of the players about this, where they basically said, look, you know, Eric Wilson, I'd like to go see the rainforest, but I guess I'll have to go some other time. They are committed to, you know, keeping safe in a city that does not have a great reputation, but there are logistics to this, everything from the field to the transportation to the game, that are challenging, and I'm really eager to see if that in any way impacts either team's performance.
So my kind of follow-up on that is, you said Matt LaFleur wasn't excited or really didn't like going to London. He's not excited and really doesn't like that he's playing in Brazil. That kind of attitude would rub off on me as a player if my coach was vocally saying that. Is Matt LaFleur, is he giving you that vibe that that's kind of how he is, he like preparing the team, like, hey, this is, I know this is crummy, but we have to do this? Like, that doesn't seem like the right approach, but is that how he's going about getting ready for this?
No, I think he did last. I think he did in 2022, though, for sure.
Okay.
Like, I think that's exactly what happened. And I think, you know, his disdain for that road trip, to use your phrase, rubbed off on his guys. I really do.
Like, I mean, that's toxic, in my opinion, as far as like an athlete is going.
No, I think
to play.
It's a good opinion.
Whether you have a teammate or a coach who's like Debbie Downing the trip, like that's tough to stay excited for. So I'm kind of interested in that relationship that they have and how he's trying to like get his team ready and mentally prepared for this.
Debbie Downing sounds like a real girl that you might have dated. Debbie Downer. Sounds like a fictional
character. She sounds
character.
like a silent movie star. Debbie Downer. Debbie Downing.
She was in Casablanca, I think, actually. So I think that's exactly what happened in 2022. Now, do I think they lost because of it? No, I think they lost because Rodgers didn't play well, and then he broke his thumb at the end of the game. But I don't think – if you didn't learn from that – if Matt LaFleur did not learn from that experience, then that's – shame on him. And I think he has. I think he's, you know, I don't think he's done a great job of hiding the fact that he's not super excited about this game, but I definitely don't think he's been outwardly like complaining and hostile about it. So that's, I guess, an improvement. But again, this is, you know, his answer was, it's different than London. One of the things about it that's different is that there's not the time change to deal with, which is true. But the flight's even longer, right? 10.5 hours. I think they're leaving tomorrow at 7:20 a.m. They go wheels up from Austin Straubel, which apparently does, in fact, have long enough runways to get them out.
That was my question.
So they are leaving tomorrow morning, and it's 10.5 hours. And then they'll have some walkthrough on Thursday, and then they'll play the game on Friday. So he definitely has... he definitely has a bad attitude, but it's better than it was about one. How's that?
Great. And if you want to give LaFleur my number for some of my tips, I'd be happy to share my travel tips with him.
Well, I can put you on a group text with you, me, and him, like I did with him and Guard when Coach Guard wanted to have him at the Guarding Against Cancer event. And then they apparently, when they did their Q&A session at the event, apparently reveled in the fact that they had dropped me from the chat, and then they just texted each other and dumped me completely.
Jason, this is the last time we'll get a chance to talk before the season starts. This season is a different... I just remember Barry Alvarez always preferred to be the hunter instead of the hunted. Packers are sneaking up on nobody. Expectations are incredibly high. It is one of
the... They're the underdogs.
Yeah.
One of the dogs in my house.
Anyway. Yeah, right. True. They're no longer the underdogs. They're the big dogs. And right. I just wonder, has LaFleur talked about it? The players talked about it? It is a different mindset. Everyone's got tape on Jordan Love. Everyone's got tape on this team and the offense they like to run with him. And everyone's going to be coming in eyes wide open, ready to play a team that has playoff aspirations, not someone where they're like, oh, maybe they're not good and we could, you know, maybe not show up completely.
Yeah, they have. I do think they've talked about that. I do think they're aware of it. You know, they trot out those kind of trite lines about how nobody has big, higher expectations than us and that kind of stuff. But the bottom line is, I do think they're aware. But I would argue that you don't really know what that's like until you actually experience it, right? Like the 96 team, which I know I'm old and I don't even know if Molly was born yet, but I was you know, that team went
She was not.
As it's confirmed I was not.
first season out of the beat. Thank you very much.
I didn't want to make you feel bad, so I didn't answer.
No, that's why you're the best, no matter what idiots on Twitter try to argue otherwise.
Thank you.
But that 96 team knew they were a Super Bowl contender. They lost in the NFC Championship game the year before. They had the expectations. The following year, after they had won the Super Bowl, I think Chewy would tell you and a lot of other guys from that team, even that was different because they were still, hey, hunting the Cowboys and trying to get over the hump. You know, they'd beaten the 49ers in the 95 playoffs. But when you win the Super Bowl or you are a team that was supposed to go 6-11 and went 9-8 and won a playoff game, everything changes. And so they're not the hunted as far as like the Chiefs are, but they know darn well that they are not going to surprise anyone and they're going to get a lot more teams' best shots than maybe they did last year.
Jason, thanks for the extra time. We really appreciate it.
Always for you guys. All right, take care. Be good.
That's Jason Wilde.
Don't go Jason Waterfall.
All right. You know what? You need to wash down that horrible joke with a great cocktail at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Middleton. You can go out there, get the Sizzle, Swizzle, and Swirl happy hour. Go say hi to Lee. You can have an event out there. You can just hang around the Horseshoe Bar, hang out with Kevin. He'll make you, even if you haven't been there in 6 months, he'll remember your drink and make it for you. Over at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Middleton, this is Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, ESPN Madison on YouTube, and Wisconsin On Demand.